Romans chapter 14, I'm sorry. Romans 14, verses 7 through 12. I'll ask you to stand once you have found it in reverence to the reading of God's word. Romans 14, 7 through 12. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to preach your word. Lord, I've been praying and asking that I could be a blessing. And Lord, I just pray you'll give me the right words to say, that Lord, it will be a blessing to everyone that is here, Lord, and that it's all only because that I want to make sure you get all the glory. Lord, we love you. We thank you for Wednesday night. We thank you for these dear people. Just bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. All right. I got called probably, about a month or so ago, and was asked if I could preach, and I said I would be honored to do that. And so I asked our pastor, I said, do you want me to preach on any certain thing? He said, no, just whatever you want and whatever the Lord lays on your heart. And ever since they've put up this banner, if that's the wrong term, I'm sorry, but this banner here, to be like Jesus, every time I come in on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, it just really got to me, and I started just thinking, I needed to put for me, instead of the ultimate goal, I needed to put a question. And the question was, what must I do to be like Jesus? What must I do to be like Jesus? Growing up, they said, if you want to be about like someone, find somebody that's successful and copy and do everything that they've done. And so I wanted to be like Pastor Jerry Ross. And I started coming here, and I said, I want to copy everything he did. And he was being blessed, and I said, I'm not sure what the secret is, but I'm going to try it. So I went home, about 3 weeks ago, turned on the mower, and cut off, I was trying to cut off my toe, but as you can see, I lost a finger instead. So, and I said, Lord, surely that will be it. Is that kind of what you did? Looked at yours for a while, kept it around? Well, I don't know. Anyway, my wife said, are you sure that's what you... I said, yes, because that's what he did, and I'm sure that's how God has blessed him. And it didn't make any difference whatsoever. I still don't have a church, and I'm still without a toe, so that's the way it goes. So I said, all right, what else has he done? And I said, well, he's a very famous author. He's wrote a book for teenage girls called Stay in the Castle. And I said, well, I don't want to do the same thing, but I'll write a book. So I wrote a book. And it's called Everything I Know About Women. Okay? And it's an easy read. There's 25 blank pages, and that's pretty much it, okay? So... if you want a copy of it, see me afterwards, and I'll be glad to give that to you. And if you're a teenage boy or a man, you'll say, yes, amen. Okay. But in all honesty, I got to move on. I had a couple other ones, but anyway. In all honesty, I thought, in order to be like someone, we need to really find out, what is it about that person that makes them blessed of God? And I just kept looking at that and said, what must I do in order to be like Jesus? And I started going through the Bible, and I said, okay, if I was a reporter back in Jesus' day and I was working for the Jerusalem Post, who would I go to? And so I started going, and I thought, well, I guess the first group I would go to would be the multitudes. because the multitudes followed Jesus everywhere. Jesus went here, he went there, and he couldn't find any place to be by himself. He always had the multitudes. And so I would go to the multitudes. And so if you go to the multitudes, in Mark 7:37, you look and see, what did the multitudes say about Jesus? If you ask them, what is it that makes Jesus who he is? How can I be like him? They just said, he doeth all things well. He hath done all things well. And I thought, wouldn't that be great to be able to do all things well? And is that the secret? Then I started thinking, you know, the multitudes today, they sit there and they say, look at Rick Warren. He's done everything well. He's a famous author. He wears a Hawaiian shirt. He's got a lot of people coming to his church. By the way, just I'm not bragging on him at all because I don't agree with him, but just to show you what you have to do sometimes, if God's not in it, to draw people to you, in the book he wrote, The Purpose-Driven Life, and this has been a couple years ago, but when I checked it out, I didn't buy it, I just checked it out, he had a quote or a verse from every version of the Bible that was available at that time. Every version of the Bible, he made sure he put a verse in there because he didn't want to offend anybody. Let me just say this. If you're going to be like Jesus, you're going to have to offend people. All right? You're going to have people that are not going to like it. I was kidding with our pastor, and he said he always likes to have me come because he never knows what version I'm going to preach out of. And I was going to use the New English Version, but I said I'll use the King James and honor him. But no, the reason I'm saying that is that's what he's done. But yet the multitudes would say, this man has done all things well. You look at, who's that goofy guy? Joel Osteen, that smiles all the time and doesn't preach about sin. Yet he draws all kinds of people in. And they would sit and say, look what he's done. He's done all things well. He's got, he has no problems. They might even look at Benny Hinn and say, wow, look at this guy. He's able to heal people. He must really be doing something well. Yet he doesn't. Because of time, I won't go into it, but I was in Israel the same week that he was there. And we had a lady come to us, it was a group of pastors, and said, you know what? I've been with Benny Hinn this week, but I want to come to you guys because I've watched you guys and what you have is real, and I want to know what's the difference. She was a Jewish woman. And so we got a chance to tell her. The multitudes would say, wow, these people have done all things well, and yet are they like Jesus? And the answer is emphatically, no, they are not. You can do things well and not be like Jesus, is what I'm trying to say. Yet the multitudes today would still say the same thing. In order to be like Jesus, just do things well. So if that's not the answer, where do you go? Well, maybe you go to Peter. And you look and you say, here was a man that walked on the water. Here was a man that preached and 3,000 people were saved. Man, wouldn't you like to have been at that service? Man, all of a sudden the invitation's given and here comes 3,000 people to get saved. That'd be great. Here's a man that was on the Mount of Transfiguration. And so you go to Peter and you say, look, I'd like to know, you're the kind of the chief disciple. Tell me, I want to be like Jesus. What do I need to do to be like Jesus? And Peter would say simply this. He went about doing good in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. He went about doing good. Well, okay, I guess I could go about doing good, and I can do this good and that good, but is that going to be what it takes to be like Jesus? Let me ask you this, can backsliders do good things? Well, you better say yes, because they can, all right? Can gossips and troublemakers in the church do good things? Sure. Can unbelievers do good things? And I'm going to tell you this, the answer is yes. In my lifetime, I was kidding with our pastor. I was saying, I don't think you ever get too old to love the song, Jesus Loves Me. And then I was saying, I know because I'm 30 years older than you. And he goes, I don't know if that's good or bad. I'm really not. That's supposed to be a joke, okay? That's just... Man, oh man. Let me tell you this, my wife will not be happy because if I'm 30 years older, that means that she's got to be older than what she is, and she will not like that. So you better apologize to her. I did tell him this, though. Even though I'm older, I don't have indigestion. Okay? So, anyway, I forgot my point. No, I know what I was going to say. I've had two people in my lifetime, grown men in their 50s. And I went to them because they had a loved one that said, at the time I was pastoring, they said, would you go and see him and tell my brother about Jesus? I want him to go to heaven. And I went there, and as God is my witness, both of these men said, we have never sinned. We have never sinned. And so I tried to go through it, and he said, well, here's what I do. I do good things. On my street, if there's a hole, I take and fill it in so the potholes are covered. I take care of my neighbors. I do this. He went through all the things he did, and I could not get him lost. And here's the sad part. He's in hell tonight, both of them, because they were good people, and I couldn't get them convinced that what the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God in Romans 3:23. In Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. They just wouldn't believe it. By the way, I know this is probably everybody here tonight is saved, but if there's one tonight that isn't, get saved tonight is all I can tell you. Get saved tonight, because you just don't know how long you're going to have. But you can do good and still be a backslider. You can still, listen, by the way, this is a free one. If you're a gossip and a tattletale, don't raise your hand, okay? I don't care. Because sometimes people say, yeah, okay, all right. No, don't do that. But quit it. You know, just quit it. This is a wonderful, wonderful church. It's not perfect because I'm here, okay? So that it'll never be perfect because I'm here. But it's a wonderful church, but it only takes one or two people to start saying this, and here's how they always do it. I just want to tell you this for your own good. No, it's not for your own good. It's to destroy you. I was at work today, and God has given me a job selling cars right now. I had a couple come in from Bethel Baptist Church looking for a car. They probably will buy, but that's not the point of this story. The point of it was, as I was walking, showing my car, he looked at me and he said, Brother Simpson, I just want you to know, my wife and I, we pray for you every day. We pray for you every day. And it just, you know, it did so much for my heart. I thought, when's the last time that I went to somebody and said, you know, I pray for you every day? Wow. Pastor, we pray for you every day. We do, but I don't tell them enough. There's other people in here. My wife is a prayer warrior. We don't just tell people sometime. Instead of going around and saying, for your own good, I want you to know that so-and-so thinks you stink, you know, go and tell them, hey, I'm praying for you. And you're saying, did somebody tell you that? You'll never know, okay? So, but anyway, keep that in mind. Doing good isn't going to take you to heaven. Doing good doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be like Jesus. So what is it that is going to make us to be like Jesus? In John 8:28, Jesus said this, and this is what's been on my heart, and I've tried to make it a motto in my life these last few months and just tried to say I'm going to be that way if I can for the rest of my life. When Jesus was talking, he said this, for I do always those things that please him. And he's talking about the Father. I do always those things that please him. And I started thinking, wow, if I would do that, I wouldn't have too many problems. I would be blessed of God. If there was a church that would be full of people that would covenant in their heart to always please the Father, there wouldn't be any problems with soul winning, because Luke 19:10 tells us what? The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Why did Jesus come to save sinners? So we need to go out and soul win. That pleases the Father. Amen. Finance. We have a business meeting tonight. I don't know what it's going to be about. Doesn't matter. If we're only pleasing the Father, there is no financial problems. Because why? We're just giving. If the pastor says, hey, we need this, okay, no problem. Because I want to please the Father. I want the Father to be pleased. gets quiet whenever you talk in finances. You know that? Yeah, it's amazing. No matter what church you go to, ooh, you better not talk about that. You're talking about my God, and that's the sad part. We have made money our God. Who is it? God gives us everything. He only asks for 10% back. I told our pastor, I said, you'll probably ask me not to come back, and I probably won't. You won't see me Sunday, but you really won't because I'm preaching somewhere else. But but I want you to think it's because I was upset because of the finance. Standards. If you're sold out to the Lord, standards are no problems because you want to please Him. You're going to dress the right way. You're going to live the right way. You're going to do what He wants, and there's not going to be a problem. Attitude. If everything that you do always, things that please the Father, you're going to have the right attitude. You're going to have the right attitude. Don't let bitterness come into your heart. I'm not going to go in because of time, but don't let bitterness come in your heart. I was at a church one time, and we were trying to help some people, and this is what they thought. They didn't tell me this directly, but I heard it. There was people that said, why should we help them? Because when I was going through this problem, no one helped me. Get over it. If nobody helped you, I'm sorry, but man, now here's your chance to help somebody else. That's it. Forgiveness. Just learn to forgive is all I can say. Don't hold it in. But Pastor, you don't know what they did. I probably don't. But just forgive them anyway. If your goal is to be like Jesus, what can I do to be like Jesus? Always those things that please Him. So forgive. Worldly sins. Worldly sins. Give them up. Give them up. The world doesn't have anything. You know what? I'm working out in the world, and the people I'm with, well, they know I'm a pastor, so they make sure they don't share any of the jokes with me, which is fine. They don't show me any of the pictures. All the stuff that they do for fun. And I think, you know, that's not even fun. They're missing out. The Christian life is where the fun is. The Christian life is where it's all about, because God is with you and you're just going to have a wonderful time. Doctrinal issues. If you're going to please Him, there's not going to be any problem with what Bible you use. By the way, there's only one, okay? We don't even have to say what version do you use. There's just one, okay? The King James Version is our Bible. That's it. You don't have to worry about doctrinally, well, can you lose your salvation? By the way, if you're wondering, no, you can't, okay? If that's a thing with you. Anything doctrinally, you're going to know because you're trying to please the Father. Ask yourself this. Do the things that you watch always please the Father? Okay? I'm not going to park on this too much because of time. And I respect our pastor. I'm going to do what he asks. But just ask yourself, when I'm watching something on TV or if I rent a DVD or whatever, is this something that's going to please the Father? Is it going to please the Father? And by the way, if it would even please the Father, if there's nothing wrong, you got to ask yourself, how much time did I spend with the Father this morning or this afternoon? What do you watch? Does it please the Father? The things that you listen to, do they always please the Father? Do you listen to Jesus Loves Me? Do you listen to the songs we were singing, This Is My Father's World, and then you go out, and when you're not here, you go and you listen to Jeremiah Was a Bullfrog, Was a Good Friend of Mine, okay? And you say, do you listen to that music? I really don't, but I was in the parking lot Sunday night, and I was behind Brother Greg Burcham, and he was singing this song, and I thought, that doesn't sound like any hymn that I know, but okay. And Brother Greg knows I love him. I told him I was going to use him tonight. If it hadn't been him, it was going to be the pastor. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. So, by the way, watch what you listen to. Because if you're in the car, a lot of times you have your kids with you. Or you, it doesn't matter. This is what I'm trying to get across. If you're doing everything to please Him, is He with you all the time? And the answer is yes. Yes, He is. In John 8, In verse 27, it said, or verse 28, then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then ye shall know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. In verse 29, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. By the way, he's with you all the time as well. Amen. You can't just say, all right, I'm going to go do this, so God, you just stay over here, and I'll come and get you later. He goes with you all the time. Do the words you say always please the Father? If you hit your thumb, or if you have a big toe and you stub it, okay? It's all right. You'll regret you ever told that story, Pastor. She'll say, I'll never tell that again as long as I live. What kind of words come out of your mouth? You know, I hear people say, oh, I'm sorry, I slipped. Because that's what they tell me at work. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know you were here. I slipped or something. If you're always doing those things that please the Father, always, you're not going to slip. You're not going to let a bad word come out of your mouth. You're not going to say something that's going to be critical. You're not going to go around and do things that would displease the Father if your goal is to always do those things that please him. Do your thoughts always please the Father? See, nobody knows what you're thinking tonight. Some of you are saying, will he really get done at 8? Some of you are saying, do we have to have a business meeting? That's how I was when I was a teenager. I just want you to know that. I'm still that way, but that's all right, okay? God knows what you're thinking. Maybe you're thinking, I can't wait to go home and eat. Maybe you're thinking, who knows? But when you're not at church, what are you thinking about? What goes in your head? What are the kind of things that go on? And the problem is, we're not doing the things that always please the Father. If we would grasp that, I'm not saying you have to put that up there. I know that's the ultimate goal. I wouldn't change that one bit. But for me, sitting in the back without my glasses, I can't see the ultimate goal too well. So I just put, what must David Simpson do in order to please the Father? To be like Jesus. And the answer is, do always those things that please him. Always those things that please him. There's a song in our hymn book. We don't sing it very much. It's an older song. It's called, I Would Be Like Jesus. If you get a chance, I was going to read it, but because of time, I won't. Open it up sometime when you come in a few minutes early. Open it up and look at it and read the words to, I would be like Jesus. And that'll tell you, I guess I'm just preaching to myself tonight. It told me I'm pretty far away. I'm pretty far away from being like Jesus. I want to be. I work on it. My wife knows that. We do what we think we can, but I can't truthfully say I do always those things that please him, but I'm telling you, I'm working on it. I'm working on it. I want to. I used to think, I'd love to hear when I got to heaven, well done, thou good and faithful servant, and I would. But I think I'd rather hear the Lord just say, you know, there was someone that was like me. There's someone that tried to be like me and live in such a way to be like me. I'd like to hear that. We're so cumbered about with being busy. We've got this job to do, or we've got to pay this bill, or we've got to do this, or we've got to do that, and we don't take time to be with the Father. So I was preparing this, I was thinking, my dad went to heaven back in 1985. He had cancer and died. So I haven't got to be with him, but I will get to be with him someday. Amen. But I know this, I can still be with my Heavenly Father every day. And my dad, he liked to be with me. When I was growing up, he always took time to say, hey, what was your day like? What's going on? And he'd take me out and do things and stuff, and I just like being with my Father. Now he's in heaven, so I ask myself, do I like being with my Heavenly Father as much? And the answer is yes, but I don't spend the time that I need to. Here's what we need, and I want to challenge you as a church, because I'm part of it as well, so I feel like I can at least bring this up. If we can grasp, if we would covenant in our hearts and just say, what would it take in order to be like Jesus? What must I do in order to be like Jesus? And then just say, for I do always those things that please Him, that please the Father, and make our life that way. Who knows what could happen in this community, in this state? You say, well, what would the pastor have to preach about? I guess he'd just have to get up and preach about God's love. That'd be all right, because we'd be doing everything right. That's what we need to be. But we don't do it. To be like Jesus, that's the goal for 2011. How do you do it? He summed it up for us in one sentence. For I do always those things that please Him. Always those things that please Him. That's all we have to do. It's not easy. It's not simple. I'm not saying that if you come and make a covenant with that tonight, that Satan's going to leave you alone and say, oh, well, if they're going to do that, then I better back off. But I'm just saying, if you do that, a lot of things in your life are going to go away, and you're not going to have to worry about what if so-and-so sees me, or what about this, or what about that. You can just look up and say, Father, I'm doing everything I can to please You. That's my goal. That's what I took out of this sign every time I see it, and I will for the rest of this year. I'll be asking myself, what must I do in order to be like Jesus? And I'll just say, do always those things that please the Father. Pastor.